Satsang with Maitreya, April 6, 2002.
Hello everybody, welcome to the Mission of Maitreya's Satsang Group and our Cyber Church. We welcome you to our room and welcome everybody to our room. And our message is a message of the unity of all religions, and we are hoping humanity will eventually listen to this message and stop the madness that we are going toward. And as we can see, most probably we are going toward a great destruction and war that is all over the world right now. And we have a message of unity to humanity, for humanity, and we are giving it out over and over. Of course, humanity is not listening to this message at this time because they are still trying to put the new wine in the old skin, or they are hanging into the old wine and they are spoiled and destroyed, and there is no longer functioning. So the message is clear that God is in control. He has sent all religions of the world to humanity, and each of them have a message for humans. And as they put together, we can see the whole vision, and the vision is there is one God, one humanity, and one earth. And we have to realize and recognize that we have eventually to listen to him and his message that have come to humanity to unify them all. And we have to learn to share. That is the real message to humanity, that as far as there are extremes, there's going to be destruction. And God has been guiding humanity to this point. If you read our teaching, he has it, he did do things, that he has done it, and he promised me things to many nations and people, and he will do them. Therefore, he does exist, and he is in control. Law is very clear. It's the law of karma. It's the action. It will create reaction in the universe. Those who go up, go down. Those who are down will go up, and extremes will continue until we realize and recognize to bring his kingdom on earth based on our teaching. And in the kingdom there is no high and low, there is no great differences between people, and therefore there is not going to be any great up and down in human history as we have seen it. Many nations have come, became powerful, became dominant, and later on they are destroyed, and another nation who were humble and small became powerful and dominant. And humanity eventually have to realize that these powers, earthly powers, are temporary. Everything in the manifested world is temporary. Therefore, they have to recognize who the one who is aggressor will be aggressed against, who is humble will be exalted, who exalt themselves become humble. And that is the lesson humanity have to learn, and eventually say the best way is the middle path, neither too high nor too low, so we can create a more equal world, and humanity can share together. Therefore, this destruction that we are going through right now will be eventually stopped, and humanity learned a lesson. Actually, history is a lesson for humanity. That's why God created the history, for humanity to recognize how the history works and how he is in control. Many nations have been powerful before us, and they are no longer powerful and no longer are in control. Therefore, humanity have to recognize this and realize that God does and has done this, so we eventually realize that we have to come to the realization there is only one God, one humanity, and the goal of life is to become divine and help everyone also become divine. Now, how can we stop this madness that humanity has been going through at least for the last 6,000 years? Is the communities of light that is proposed and given to humanity through the mission of Maitreya. Communities of light based on the eternal divine path, and the eternal divine path is explanation of each religion of the world and how they each have come for a specific message, and how when you put all these messages together, you see the whole picture and what God is revealing to humanity. Therefore, we are here, we are giving this message out again every day, every month, you know, every week, you know, and we are trying to give this message to as many people as possible, and we are hoping they realize and recognize and see the vision that is here in the mission, and when they see the vision, they give that vision to other people, to their family, to their friends, to their neighbors, their community, to their city, to the nations. And eventually many people see the vision and say, yes, that is the only vision, makes sense. And how can there be only one God but so many religions? And if there is only one God and not many religions, what is that religion? That is a religion which combines all of them together and explains where each one falls in this explanation. And this explanation, of course, explains the path. It is not a dogma. It's not you have to believe in such and such a name or such and such a thing, you will be saved. A path means you walk it, and when you walk the path, of course, you will see the benefit of it. Therefore, we can see God is been in control all this time. Religions do not create separation. Dogmas and misunderstanding of the religion create separation, and also humanity have to recognize and realize that they have to become more equal on earth, and too much differences between them will create destruction, wars, and unhappiness for everybody. So these are the lessons that humanity have to learn. This is the message that mission of Maitreya is trying to give to every individual, and every individual then is responsible to give it to everybody else that they know and they can reach. Therefore, everybody eventually sees that those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who are humbled will be exalted. Those who are aggressors will be aggressed against, and those who are aggressed against will be aggressors themselves later, but they have to learn not to be. Therefore, we can see we have to use the resources, the power, and everything on earth to art the kingdom of heaven on earth, which is based on the communities of light, and the communities of light is based on the eternal divine path. Eternal divine path, which is the base of the kingdom, has five steps. The first step is awakening of your spiritual forces. It means meditation, contemplation, chanting, dancing, whatever works for you to calm your mind and eventually recognize who you are, and that hear that very still voice of God behind all the worldly thing which is happening in external world. In external world, many things is happening, is pulling us, pushing us, making us think that everything is falling apart and the life is not completely the way we want them, and therefore we feel helpless, hopeless, and completely in the mercy of the events. But if you calm your mind, don't let those things affect you, and meditate in a deeper level, you will hear a very calm place that you will know everything is going to be okay. Okay, that calm place is where the meditation, the goal of the meditation is, where beyond all the sound and the events and the things happening in external world, and beyond that we can reach that calmness and recognize and realize all will be okay, and we will know what is the actions we have to do next, and in that moment, and we will take that action and improve our lives toward betterment and toward the creation of the communities of light. Creation of the communities of light is the pace of the kingdom of heaven on earth. Therefore, the first step is to know thyself. To know thyself. Who is the self? Self is beyond mind. Self is beyond events. Self is beyond all the foreground, noise of life. Self is beyond all these. Therefore, when we know ourselves, when we reach that calm mind, when we reach God, then we reach love, understanding, depth, compassion, strength, effectiveness, see our lives clearly, why are we here, where are we going, why we have been created, and of course the scriptures will help us in this regard, because God sent them to us to guide us. And as we guide it towards the scriptures and towards our meditation, we will see that there is the only source of love, of clear-mindedness, seeing of our life in a clear way is God Himself. So that we open ourselves to Him, we do not seek attention, we do not seek love, we do not seek everything from the external world, but within ourselves, because we already have them. We don't need to reach out there and look for them. And that is the wrong place to look for the things that we really desire. Okay, therefore, we have to recognize that essence that have everything we want, and we are looking for everywhere else but where it is at, and that is within us. Therefore, the first step is awaken of the spiritual forces in the eternal divine path, to know thyself. And that, of course, covers religions like Hinduism, Buddhism, Kabbalah, mystical Christianity, Sufism, and any other path that teaches meditate, know thyself, to know God, be still, and know that I am God. And that part is covering most of the Far East, and many religions also have a mystical path, a mystical side that we can know, that a lot of people have recognized and realized that they can recognize God within themselves. Therefore, when you awaken your spiritual forces, what's the next step? Next step, of course, is the Old Testament. If you go through the Old Testament, the whole theme of the Old Testament is God is trying to find a people, a tribe, a community that will accept Him as the King and His laws as the laws, and bring Him to every aspect in their lives. And that is exactly what the community of life is. The community of life is the community that the people accept God as their King and bring His laws as their law, and will follow His laws. And that such a community will be the base of the kingdom of heaven on earth. Each individual meditate, awaken their spiritual forces, know themselves, and then direct that toward the creation of the kingdoms of life, and bring God, which they recognize within themselves, into the community. Therefore, more people, godly people, will come together and create a community which is based in something they already recognize within themselves, and therefore that community become more godly and more godly and more flowing and one. And of course you cannot bring a community of light with the people they are not recognized. They have not awakened their spiritual forces. They have not seen God within. They are still looking for the world to give them what they need, and therefore they cannot feel oneness with the community, and therefore they might, blame the community for what they don't have, but really what they don't have is what they cannot find within themselves. Therefore, that satisfaction, that oneness, that feeling of needless, not needing anything, is within you, not without. Here, human is really need a physiological and safety need a little bit. The rest is know thyself. You know, you don't need much after that. So you can see the next step is the communist of light, and the communist of light is what God revealed in Old Testament, and Hebrews the chosen of the chosen people, and the Hebrew actually means the children of light, and they were chosen in that time to show humanity what does God mean by the communist of light. Of course, later on, as it was prophesied, when the Shiloh, when the Messiah comes, of course, the kingdom will be taken away from that nation and be given to another people. And any time the new messenger comes, the messenger before it, of course, is finished, is done, and his message is on earth, but is a part of the greater truth. So we can see that our teaching recognizes and explains what the Old Testament message was. The Old Testament message was communities of light, community created based on the pure couples, and also the teachers who dedicate their life to creating more communities of light, and therefore creating a community based on the laws of God and purity of their relationships, and a place that people share and bring greater unity to themselves and the community. And such a community, of course, cannot be formed or created if everybody in the community says, "What is it for me?" Okay. Of course, if everybody recognizes and realizes themselves and awaken their spiritual forces, in the power forces, then they won't do that. You know, they say, "Oh, okay. Well, I can share some. I can give more. I can be, you know, more." Actually, we have to be more, not to do more. When we are more, we will do more, you know, very easily. So it is not how much we do, but how much we are closer to God. Therefore, we can see that the next step is sacrifice. You know, you have economic special forces, you try to create the communities of light, and then, of course, you recognize this. If you say, "What's in me for me," all the time, and being self-centered and selfish and thinking only about yourself, then you are taking the new community more than you giving into it, and also you create feeling not of oneness. You know, the more, okay, as I said many times, when the couple marry, they become one. They want to become one. They want to, you know, completely find their other part to become one by concentrating on each other. Okay, I said many times, it's impossible. Okay, no two humans can become one. The only way you can become one with each other is become one with God. If I am one with God and you are one with God, are we one? Yes, we are, because God is the Spirit. A spirit within all of us, and I recognize God in you, and you recognize God in me. Therefore, we are one. But if I concentrate on you, and you concentrate on me, then two egos are concentrating in each other, have their own desires and wants and way of doing things. You will not become one. It's the same thing in the community. If every individual in the community is one with God already and recognize their Godness within themselves and unity of God in them, they don't need to put stress on other people and trying to get their attention or create negative situation to get negative attention in the community, but they will be happy within themselves, because God is within them, and that is the only source you can get everything you need. You don't need it out there. If you are longing to get it out there, you won't find it, and you will be disappointed. And then you might, blame the community or other people for your problem, but really, it is your problem. And you say, "Well, if I leave from this place and go somewhere else, I'm going to be happy." The problem is, you're going to take your baggage with you. You know, you're going from here somewhere else, and you have the same thing is going to happen over and over. And you can actually see the pattern in your life. You really meditate deeply, that same thing are going to happen over and over. Therefore, in the next step in the coming of life is sacrifice. And sacrifice it should come very naturally. As you said, if you awaken your forces in the first step, You don't need really to work hard on it. It's very comfortable, simply and easily to you, and recognize everybody's place in the community, and we support them in that in their way. So we can see that sacrifice have brought by the Christ. Christ came and went all the way to the cross, and he sacrificed himself for him. Of course, he had more mission than that. He released the grace that has been taken away at the time of the Garden of Eden, and also he unified the last tribe of Israel in the West, and all that that we can read in our teaching. But the essence of his message was sacrifice. So, in order to create the comings of light, he is to awaken our spiritual forces, to create the comings of light, to sacrifice for it. Therefore, the message of Christianity is not to be self-centered, to be able to give up yourself to the community and help the community to grow and become a great community, and so it can use its resources and power to reach even to greater community around it and attract more people to come to the comings of light and eventually bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. Now, you know, you have recognized God a little bit in your spiritual progress, and you join the community or try to create the community. You sacrifice and you thought you gave some and nothing happens. What happens? It's still not pure consciousness. You still have an ego there lurking, you know, behind, and suddenly, you know, you become depressed and you say, well, what happens, you know? I put this all effort here and it's not happening. So you might be depressed, or you might even give up and say, no, it's not going to work. I'm going to walk away from here. It's too hard work or something, because ego wants to feel the result. Of course, I'm not saying don't expect the result, but don't be attached to the result of your endeavor. And therefore, you in the next step is to surrender the result to God. You know, you do the job, you do the work, and you sacrifice in the community. And then, of course, automatically you say, God, okay, I did my job, you know, I'm not attached to the result, the result is yours. That means surrender. So greater than surrendering is submission. Submission means that I am not the doer. God is the doer. I have recognized God in the first step, didn't I? I eventually got in touch with him. I meditated. I went deep inside. I went beyond all noises in the foreground. Eventually went to the background and felt the calmness and unity with God. Now I have the love of God, the compassion of God, and I have the calmness of God, everything. Now, okay, I can see God is really the doer. Okay, because who is my essence? My essence and God are one. He is doing everything. And when I am beyond all this foreground noise, and I'm in the background with God, and he is doing things through me. Am I going to make mistakes? If God is perfect, how can he make mistakes? You recognize and realize that you become submissive to God more and more, and you let God come through and do perfect job and whatever you do. But if it's not perfect, if you bring your teaching to our teaching, to God's teaching, if you do not in a go deeper level to realize the depth of his spirit, then who's interfering with God's coming through? It's our ego. He's in the way again, and we have to recognize that and say, ego, go, you know, let the God come through, and therefore let God come through more and more, and eventually you become a submissive person most of the time, or eventually all the time. And therefore we can see that that message of surrendering and submission is the message of Islam. Islam means surrendering and submission to God, and therefore with this recognition we become one with God. That is the goal of the life, isn't it? The goal of the life is to return to God, to let God come through, become one with God. That is the goal of yoga. Actually, yoga means union. The goal of yoga means, you know, you become one with God. And that is the, when you become one with God, who exists? You or God? God exists. You don't exist anymore. Therefore, we can see in that level, you become completely a channel for God, and God comes through, and ego goes. Therefore, we can see that now we unified not only all the mystical path on earth, also Old Testament, all the Jews and Hebrews, New Testament, all the Christians and Islam or Muslims are unified. That is 3 billion people of the humanity, already more than 3, almost 4 billion of the humanity is unified in these teachings. And of course, when you surrender and submit to God, still we might become attached to a small part of the universe and say, well, I'm just going to help my household. I'm just going to help my community. I'm just going to help my nation. I'm just going to be attached to the earth. No, still we have the narrowness of the mind, and therefore we narrow ourselves to a very small portion of the universe. Therefore we become narrow in our vision. Our vision becomes a tunnel vision. We cannot see the whole picture of what is happening in the universe. Therefore the next step is universalism. You realize that your home is universe, your father is God, your mother is God, and the rest of the universe is struggling beings in your path with you, and you are here to help all of them to recognize the eternal one path, join the communities of life, and bring the kingdom of heaven on the whole universe, and accelerate the process of returning to God for every individual and beings in the universe. And therefore, you become a universalist, you create the compassion for every atom in the universe, and you try to help each and all of them to progress to a higher consciousness and higher level, and eventually to consciousness. And of course, that also helps not being self-centered and thinking about ourselves all the time, but thinking about the universe. Expand our mind. Oh, I am a part of the universe. I do not belong to anything else but the universe. Then you really become a child of God, because God is the universe. You know, then you recognize that you do not belong to any specific gender, group, or nation, or religion, or anything on this planet or any planet. When you become a universalist, therefore the progress and the salvation of the universe is the essence of your endeavor and your thinking and your progress. And of course you will progress, because you shatter all the narrowness of the mind and you will see everything clearly as they are, instead of coloring your perception with small little things in human life. Therefore, universalism is the fifth step in the eternal divine path, and that, of course, has brought by Bob and eventually perfected a little more by Baha'u'llah, and that is the Baha'i teachings. And therefore, with these five steps, we also unify Baha'is with the rest of the universe and the rest of the people on earth. And also the five step of the eternal divine path is finished here. Awakening of the third forces, creation of the communities of light, sacrifice, surrendering and submission, and become a universalist. If you truly, truly follow this path, if you truly recognize God within, if you direct that recognition and realization throughout the creation of the communities based on God and His laws, be able to become with the community and sacrifice without any resentment and without any expectation, and then surrender and submit to God and His will, and know what is His will for you in the community. Why God put you in this community? Therefore, you recognize why you are in that community. And then, of course, become universalist and shatter every narrowness of the mind and become a universalist, you will become an elect. That is the path of the elect that all the religions of the world have been talking about. In every scripture, God said, my elect will inherit the earth. My elect are the salt of the earth. My elect are the one that worth my effort. My elect, the one receive my grace and love. That is what he was talking about. The elect are those who follow the eternal divine path, awaken their spiritual forces, recognize God within, go beyond the noise in the foreground to the calmness and unity of God in the background, and receive everything they need from God without being longing and craving for external attention, external love, and external things that never ever satisfies, because I'm looking for love and you are looking for love. How can I give it to you when I don't have it? I'm looking for myself. You know? I'm looking for love, you're looking for love. So it means we don't have it. You know? If you don't have it and I don't have it, how can I get it? Give it to you. You know, see how human's mind is thinking wrongly instead of godly? But God, does God have love? Yes, he does. You know, if you got well, he actually longs to give the love and grace and beauty to you, and you recognize him, and of course there is a condition there. You have to follow his laws. You have to recognize his, you know, laws and follow them instead of saying, no, I'm going to create my own law. And then when you don't receive the grace, you say, well, you have to give me the grace. You demand him to give the grace. But he said, you're not following what I told you in my scripture. How can I give it to you? So you can see, as we go deeper, we can recognize and realize him deeper, and therefore follow his laws easier, because as somebody said, I recognize and realize the beauty of the Ten Commandments after I start following him. You know? Before that I said, why do I want to follow this thing? But after you follow God's commandments and laws, your life become more smooth, your life become more flowing, your life become more beautiful, your life become easier and simpler and nicer. You say, oh, that's good. I love that. I want to be that. So we can see that eternal divine path guide you to become an elect. And elect, you know them by their fruits. Not by their words, not by their, you know, claims, not by big words and pretty words and beautiful words, but by their fruits. If you do not get fruit, then, you know, it means you haven't recognized God within. It means you don't feel one with the community of light. It means you don't want to sacrifice. And when you do a little sacrifice, it seems so big to you. And you are not surrender and submit to God. You are looking for result all the time. And if it doesn't give it to you, you get unhappy. And you are not universalist by feeling belong to a specific place or people and all that. So still ego is big and present and is not dissolved in God. So meditate deeply and go beyond, you know, everything that you long and you long for. Therefore you recognize God within in a deeper level, and then follow eternal divine path. That is when you become an elect. When you are really elect, I don't have to do anything. You know, you are self-motivated. You are absolutely one with the Spirit. You are one with God. And we are one together. And we become two good co-workers. And we can work together and create the community of life, spread the mission, create the great teachers who will, you know, come and go and travel and teach and establish the communities. There, if you know, or you're going to become a support group that you will support the mission, so we can support the teachers and the mission, and eventually we create a system based on God, that the Spirit of God exists in it, and we can have hundreds of thousands or 144,000 great teachers and millions of supporters who will support those teachers, so we can give this message in every corner of the earth. And then, of course, more and more human will see this, recognize this, realize this, and say, yes, we don't have any choice but to share, to realize God is one. We are one humanity, one earth, that planet earth, or a spaceship planet earth, you know, that either we have to get along or blow it away 50 times and destroy it, and none of them has anything left for any of us at all. actually better than that, recognize that we can reach to the space and bring even greater resources for humanity, or even go to the space and live in a place that resources are available. So we can see that all this thing has given to humanity now, and you are called to see this vision. If you see the vision, let me know that you have seen the vision, and then you start working on the eternal divine path, and then you reach the point that you have become an elect, then me and you are one, and all of us one with God, and we can bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. And that is the seventh seal. The sixth seal is the elect who have gone through the eternal divine path, the first five steps that we just explained. That the seventh step is when we bring the kingdom of heaven on earth, and eventually many people will reach pure consciousness. This is the essence of our teachings. Now, if you have related questions to the mission and our teaching, bring it up. Please keep it in a higher level, and let us know what or your questions are, if you have any. Okay, Nature Boy, go ahead. Who's it?
Yes, I saw a video, and I've listened to Benjamin Krim, and he would say that the Maitreya is going to come out publicly at this time, and then Maitreya is going to come out at this time, and Maitreya is going to come out at this time, and Maitreya hasn't come out publicly to, like, the United States or to the world yet, you know. And I'd like to know why. Why is this Benjamin Krim saying Maitreya is going to come here, Maitreya is going to do this?
Okay, if you see what Mr. Krem did and what John the Baptist did, the similarity is very amazing. John the Baptist was waiting for Christ, and he went to the desert and started preaching that the kingdom is at hand, and he preached that the Christ is going to come, and he will reveal the kingdom of heaven and bring the kingdom of heaven on earth, and a lot of people started following him. And he became very famous, but when the Christ came, he didn't recognize him. Even his disciples have to go and ask Christ, "Are you the one are we really looking for, or should we wait for someone to come?" Don't you see the similarity there between the two? Mr. Kram came and he put ad in, you know, every major city in the world, you know, and claim that Maitreya is Christ, and he will be on earth in spring of 1982. And when we announced the mission and reached out to humanity in 1982, without even knowing that Mr. Krem exists, and then nobody showed up. According to him, he is still hangs into something that is not true anymore, and his prediction was correct. We did reach to humanity, we did announce the mission in spring of 1982, as Christ also announced himself to be on earth, and John the Baptist did never acknowledged through him when he baptized him, but later on he could not see how Christ is the same as the one that he was preaching, because he had a lot of his own ideas, and he was expecting the Christ come the way he thought he will come, and when he came he could not accept him, or he did not recognize him. So we can see the similarity here very striking, and is very similar, and if we realize that, you know, Mr. Grant is a kind of a forerunner for the mission to come to earth, but when the mission came, he didn't recognize. We tell him good luck. You know, if he wants to wait for another Maitreya, I don't think it's going to come. It's not going to happen, because if you look at the mission and our teaching, it has been prophesied to come. the prophecies are fulfilled, the genealogy is accepted as a great, you know, point of recognizing who Christ is and who Maitreya is and what the teaching is. And therefore, we have no doubt what we say and what we reveal to humanity is from God, and what Mr. Cram recognized and preached in that in 1982, the Maitreya will be here, is fulfilled through this mission. But according to him, Maitreya is going to come, overshadow everyone, and the kingdom come next day. It is not, many things he says is not a scripture, it's not based on the word of God, and it is a lot of things that he has learned from his own understanding. So his understanding and the scripture are not the same. So we do not think anybody is going to come after 1982, and we wait and you wait to see who is the correct one. Go ahead, Nature.
Okay, I'm a little bit confused. I came in the room and I read the greeting when you come in the room. Is it my understanding that you're Maitreya? We're listening to Maitreya, or you channel Maitreya, and you're telling us? I'm trying to get like who you are, Joseph. I'm a little confused.
Sure, there's no problem. I am Maitreya. I've been given the name Maitreya. The teaching have come to humanity, have come through me, and it fulfills the prophecies, it fulfills the every expectation all religion have for coming of a teacher or teaching that unifies all humanity and eventually will bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. Therefore, I am Maitreya. Was it you? Okay, well, that's what you're asking, if I was the same person who was seen in Africa. There are a lot of things that is, as I said, it's been said through the Share International. Actually, if you read our teaching, you see we are going to fulfill exactly what the Share International and Mr. Graham is expecting to happen. Okay, but we need the teacher and the people who will spread this message, create comments of light, and many things that has been given in Share International, which is from the people that they have a good imagination, and they come up with these ideas, and it's not important even if they are truth. If I was there, there's not, none of those things are important. The most important thing is the message, is the eternal divine path, is the creation of the communities of light and the bringing kingdom of heaven on earth. You know, so Share International, it did its job by predicting that Maitreya is going to come in 1982, and he did. That's all their vision and their mission was. Okay, and they accomplished it. Now, because the Maitreya didn't come, they are still trying to convince people that this thing is happening with someone that going around appearing here and there and magnetizing the water and going to the you know, windows and creating, you know, all those things in a window and appearing in the churches. Even if it's true, it's not important. The most important is the message. The message is here. The message is the eternal divine path. The message is the communities of light. And if Share International and Mr. Cram recognize this, which we have, not I, but many of the people who know me, have come, gone to him and presented him the mission and of scripture, though, and told him that that's him, you know, come and see the teaching. You will recognize that teaching is from him. Like the John the Baptist, he keep refusing to see it, you know, and of course, you know, we do not put our trust in him or anyone else. Many people are been inspired to bring prophecies, to bring the genealogy, to bring many things for the mission which are inspired by God. And sometimes they take that inspiration of something they have done, or we owe them something because they have recognized those things, and we don't. That is God's way of make this mission and is realized and recognized by those people who see the vision that is from God. It is the fulfillment of the prophecies. This is the last revelation of God to humanity. It is the beginning of the coming of the kingdom on earth and the golden age. And of course, before the golden age comes, there's always, if you want to create something new, you have to destroy the old. And that's what's happening on earth. And the destruction is on earth. And those who see the vision that we have given, they become a part of the mission and come and help, and we become one, and we eventually create the kingdom of heaven on earth. Therefore, what do Mr. Cram say? It's not going to come. You're waiting for a person. It's not going to show up. It's not going to happen the way you thought about it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen the way God said it's going to happen. And therefore, you have to recognize this is from God, and forget about his own ideas and all those things that they think is important. Appearing somewhere. Is it that more important than parting the Red Sea? Moses parted the Red Sea. Did he get a better disciple by doing that? Or after they went the other side, they start murmuring against him. Why did you take us out of Egypt? Or Christ healed how many people? What did they need? Did they believe on him or put him on the cross? Okay? And you can see that miracles, all those things are not the thing that make better believer or better disciple, but seeing the vision of God and the mission and understanding the depth of what we have brought, bring, and make better disciple and understanding. Therefore, we invite everyone to see these things and forget about the miracles. The miracle of the mission is our scripture. If you read it, understand it, see the vision, you see the miracle of God. Actually, the only part universe rejoiced was when Christ opens the book sealed with the seventh seal. So that means that's even greater than healing, leprosy and miracles that a lot of people are so attached to them. The more important is the message of God, the vision of God for humanity. And that is what we have, and we preach, and we believe that we have brought to humanity the last revelation from God, and that is the salvation of man physically, mentally, spiritually, individually, and collectively. And therefore, you have to see the vision. You have to read, though. You eventually see why and how God sent different religion, how they're putting together. Suddenly it makes everything sense. Okay, and actually I rejected religion because it didn't make sense. But then I received this revelation, it made sense. It made so much sense. It was impossible not to accept it. So those who see the vision are the ones I'm looking for. They are elect. They are the people who see the vision, love the vision, want the vision, and able and willing to participate in manifesting this vision. They're not looking for miracles, for, help from outside. They're already very high souls, and they will see this vision clearly and will come and will join us and help with all the might to get this mission moving and eventually reach to every human and humanity. But of course, other humans are still fighting who is Muslim, who is Christian, who is Jews, who is Buddhist, who is Hindus, who is... We don't. We accept all of them. All of them are a part of this teaching and this vision, and we recognize all is from God. And of course, they don't recognize us. Like every new religion, if you study, the old religion don't accept them. But this time is different. This time, those who do not accept this vision, unfortunately, will not be reincarnated for a long time. And after the destruction is coming very fast, we can see that we are in the brink of the terrible right now, and I hope it wouldn't happen. We are as unhappy about the destruction and the killing and things that is happening all over the world. But unfortunately, humanity is not willing to give up their attachments, their little religion, their little belief and understanding, which is mostly dogmas and false. this teaching is no longer have any dogma or false. And therefore, I invite again Mr. Krem and his organization and people to come, see, read, understand, see the vision and say, yes, that's what we're looking for. This is Maitreya that, you know, prophesied by Mr. Krem comes in 1982. And therefore, we come and join and help and, you know, get this mission going as much as possible. I hope that makes sense to you, Nature. So if you are close to the Mr. Krem or you know people in the Mr. Krem, go tell them. Tell them I find Maitreya. You know, he is here. He has a website and he's teaching all in that website and free of charge. We have received them free and we have given them free for everybody to read them and understand them. Of course, people here read it every day, you know, in the morning, in the noon and at night, and you can come and hear it if you want to do that. Okay, you go ahead, and if you have any other question, come to the mic and pose it. Pose them here. Okay, add me to your list, please. Okay. Ananda Ma, do you want to add Nature Boy? Nature Boy, do you want to give your information? Or what best, go to the website and fill up our newsletter. That you can give your name, your address, your email, and whatever else you like to do that. If somebody posts the website for Nature, you can go there and read our teaching and see that. Okay, if there is another question, please raise your hand. Otherwise, we meditate. Of course, we have all our CDs on the website, and probably there are hundreds of topics that we have already talked about. Even the very question, you know, Nature brought up, there is a CD there that it's been given. Actually, I think it's the two CDs there that Satsang has been given in a much deeper level, explaining, you know, our relationship with Mr. Krem and what happened and all that. So if you go to our website and go to the commercial part of it, e-commerce, there is a CDs for that the cover the Satsang from 1999, 2000, 2001, and 2002, and there are hundreds of topics already covered in those Satsangs. And I'm glad that, you know, that nobody have a question. That means that I already gave everything in answer and all the questions are answered, and you guys know it. And that is great. And if you know the answers and the questions have been answered, you know, the only thing left really now to follow the Eternal Divine Path, awaken your spiritual forces, you know, go deep inside. You know, God is within you. You can't find it out there. It's not out there. It is not out there. Okay? Period. If you can't find it within yourself, you're lost. Okay? That is what the lost soul means. You haven't found it within. That craving, that desire, that want, that ambition, you know, all those things are no good. It's not going to give you satisfaction. It's not going to give you the essence that you're looking for. It's all, you know, false. Okay, it's going to give you a false satisfaction for a very, you know, a small period of time if those are, you know, fulfilled, but it is not forever. It's not permanent. Permanency is within you. Permanency is beyond your desires, your wants, and your longing and your cravings. Okay, that is where your permanent soul and beauty is. So go and find that beauty. Find that. That essence, you know, don't just, you know, jump all over the world trying to, you know, find something that is already home, you know, and then you don't need to go anywhere to find it. Then, you know, reach out to the neighbor, reach out to your family, reach out to your, you know, friends, you know, reach out to the people they think alike. come together, you know, create an environment that is godly, is good. You know. God is good. You know. Create an environment which is good. You know. And when it is good, it's godly. And then create comings of light. Create two comings of light, three comings of light. You know, and sacrifice for it. You know, then that always, what is in me for me? What is in me for me? Give me all the time. And the less happy you become, the more you me you do, the less happiness is going to be there. And eventually surrender to God and say, okay, I'll do all this is really, I'm not attached to the surrender, you know, result, and surrender to God and don't become calculated mind, you know. I did this, you do that, therefore tick for tack, calculated mind again is no good. I did it because I wanted to do it and God went through and I did a good job. That's wonderful. I am free. Now what's next? And become universalist. Shatter all norms of the mind. Everything that bound you, everything that makes your mind small, make you tunnel vision, you know, see one race, one gender, one you people. You know. No, the whole humanity, the whole universe, you know, expand yourself and then you see things very clearly, the vision of God, how each person, every flower, each, you know, thing in the universe have their own places. Actually, if you take those out, you know, the balance is going to be restored and therefore create an environment that everything stays the way they are. Therefore, would we have war if we all think like that? If we all, you know, share a little bit and create an earth that there is sharing and understanding instead of, you know, ego, you know, visions and tunnel vision in it? No, it won't be. And then you become an elect. You will feel great. You become a part of the problem. You go beyond intellect. Therefore, God has given us this beautiful realization. The timing is right. The timing is correct. We can see that Earth is need this, does need this in the greatest degree possible. And we are here to give it to them. And therefore, you are called for this. You have seen the vision. See the vision. Okay. See the vision and then send me an email and say, Maitreya, I have seen the vision. Then I say, great, you know, then come and join us. What is your talents? What you can do for the mission? How you can help? Are you a good, you know, artist? What kind of the artistry do you have? You know, if you are a good musician, you know, make a music for Hariam Shri Hanji. And Om Nam Kevalam, something that you can play with your music or sitar or guitar or whatever you have, and spread the word through your music. You know, if you are a good drawer or graphic, you have nice graphics, go to the website and make our graphs in a more beautiful way. If, you know, if a good businessman or person, come here and take over the business of the mission and create a wing that can help, you know, to use our resources in the best way to spread the mission. Whatever talent, you just sweep beautifully the floor, great. You know, come and sweep the God's house in the most beautiful way and make it pretty so when the people come and say, ah, that's beautiful, nice place and clean. That, you know, you can feel God in the cleanliness of it. Whatever you have, whatever talent God gave you, no matter how big or small, it can be used and is appreciated by God, and God will accept it. As the Hindus say, if you give a beautiful rose petal to Krishna, he will accept it with great grace and say, thank you, and you will receive the grace of God. So don't think, oh, you are small, you don't have anything to do with it. You don't have any talent or anything. No. You have talent, you are accepted, you are welcome to help the mission in any way possible. But do it. Don't hold it like a manna that came to the children of Israel and they hold into it and they spoil it and, you know, benefit no one. So let it out and use it and, of course, you know, be more in the stuff, do more. That is going to be the... We have been doing a lot actually for the last year or so, but this is, again, the time to relax, to become more, understand the mission, and when we are more, we do more. Okay, if you have any question again, raise your hand. Go ahead, little one. How are you doing? I hope you're doing good. And everything is fine. Go ahead with your question.
Hello, Maitreya. I am doing wonderful. Thank you very much. Thank God. My question is, I would first like you to speak, please, more about positive and negative energy. Mm-hmm. This came up yesterday in Pal Talk.
Okay.
And my example would be if we're around someone who is very angry or someone who's into their addictions and it manifests being some negative energy of how I can be better and working with positive energy.
Okay, that's a good question. And when you are in around a negative person or person who is addicted or they are angry, the best way to deal with that situation is to be as centered on God as possible, and also to show them that you are good, you are a good person, what you're doing is pure and perfect, and do action in the most pure possible, so they can see the purity in your action, then therefore your energy is more positive than theirs is, and of course there are negative energy sometimes that, you know, no matter how much light you put on them, sometimes they just cannot see it, or it cannot penetrate that energy. In that situation, the best way is to create an environment that they have a greater light and energy, so that negative energy cannot affect you. That's why Christ said, when you go preaching about his teaching, go two together, not one, because in that case you have greater light with two instead of one, and therefore if you can bring the more like-minded people, more light with you in that situation, it will create greater degree of effectiveness in that situation. And that is one thing also in the communities of light. The more communities of light is created, the more light will be on earth, and light will become stronger and more powerful, and that can affect the darkness that we have on earth in a greater degree. Therefore, number is, as the Prophet Muhammad said, number is the hand of God, and the more we have the number increase in light and bring the people who see the vision and the mission and the they have light, the greater degree is going to be. But of course, if you are talking about an individual situation, you know, try, if the person is not that dark and they have some goodness in them, you know, appeal to that part of them, you know, let them know that your actions are pure and your purity is, there is no doubt about it, and therefore the other person will eventually see that and recognize that and calm down. But if the darkness is too strong and you cannot deal with it individually, and then you have to bring some other lights into it, so you become a greater degree of light, so you can make an effect in that darkness. And positive energy and negative energy, of course, they are fighting with each other all the time, and actually positive energy attracts negative energy. Because negative energy really loves to be positive and light and all that. Therefore, you can see, you know, the light actually attracts darkness, and they become sometimes very unhappy, you know, because they want that light, but because they don't have it, they become rude. Or just imagine what happened to our room in Paltoy. We can see some people come and they become very rude about, you know, what you are doing, because, you know, we attracted them to come. because there is so much light here. Then I started the mission, I was only one person who had this. Now we have many other people joining us. As the people increase, the light is going to be greater degree. In an individual situation, I involve other people in the situation, the family, the people who can help. If it is family affair, if it's a friendly, and if between friends, we are bringing other friends. If it's between a stranger, two divines go together and tackle the situation. It depends what the situation is, and in each situation, try to bring greater light if you cannot handle it yourself. Does it make sense, little one? Okay, that was good. That was a good question. Oh, great. Yeah, well, that is how it is. It's a part of the, if you see I Ching, you know, there's white and black, you know, going around all the time. They're attracted to each other. They're each other's partner. Actually, somebody said if there's no negativity, how we recognize the positivity? If everybody was good, then we wouldn't have, you know, good and bad. You know, the bad people make the good people stand out in a greater degree. And so we have to deal with negativity and at the same time, you know, stay with that essence within ourselves. And if we recognize that essence and stay with that essence, we have the light in the greatest degree and the darkness cannot affect us at all. Actually, darkness will fall in its own self and will destroy itself by being dark when the light, they cannot penetrate the light. So the more light you create, the more communities of light you create, the more individual light you create, the less darkness can affect you. The more individual we create who have the light and come together, we have the greater degree of light on earth. And eventually darkness becomes smaller and smaller and smaller. And one day we say the light is on earth and the kingdom of God is on earth. So, again, you know, God is the answer. Essence is the answer. Our recognition that God is within us is the answer. Okay. Again, if you have any question, raise your hand. Otherwise, go ahead, little one.
I do have a follow-up on that. A lot of my interactions are one-on-one, being the client therapist type. And they're complaining and they're hurting and they're very much into their arguments and their dogmas and so forth. And I certainly am not going to argue that energy with them. So what I do... When you said, you know, who is my essence, is rather than rely on words, I simply within myself say, God's will be done and the kingdom of heaven be revealed on earth. So is it appropriate then that I don't just use words to communicate this positive and negative energy?
Yeah, in your situation also bring the eternal divine path into your relationship with others, you know, just, you know, go to your essence and come from that essence which you recognize in meditation. Just use the, you know, universal mantra for time being, you know, of course, unless you want to be initiated, then, you know, that is a process of sending an email and say, you want to be initiated, and then, of course, we go from there. But if you don't, you just can use the, you know, universal mantra and go through the process and recognize that a stillness between breathing in and breathing out and the meaning of the Hariyam Sharihan Om Nam Kevalam and breathing out and breathing out, recognize that the stillness. And then when you deal with these people, come from that stillness, okay? From that unity between in that stillness between breathing in and breathing out, and in that way you can easily, you know, handle the negativity, and don't become argumentative. Don't argue with them. Actually, mission, one of the part of the mission is don't argue, but rejoice in what we have here. We have recognized. Of course, they have dogmas. They are either Christian or Muslim or Hindus or Buddhist, or, you know, they have been living with that dogma all their life. And suddenly we come here and telling them, no, you are just a part of the rest of the revelation. Of course not. You know, ego likes to say, well, I'm a Christian, I have the, you know, only way, or I'm Jews and I am the chosen people, or, oh, I have the last word, I'm a Muslim. Ego likes that, because then I am better than everybody else. Okay? And then suddenly we coming and saying, no, you're not better than everybody else, you're just a part of a path that God is sending to humanity. You know? Of course they become negative and they start, you know, feeling negative toward you, but stay centered, stay in that essence, stay in that calmness, and just even smile at them and say, okay, don't worry about it, you know, you don't want to hear it, you can't hear it, it's okay. But just consider this thing I'm telling you. Go to the website, okay, here's a card with the website on it, go ahead and study yourself to see if you see something in it that might help you. So be very calm, be very gentle, become very smiling behavior, you know, but at the same time, be effective. Don't be apologetic. You know, then one of the dimensions is not about artistic. We are not apologetic at all. I think we have the truth and we like the other people see it. Okay? If you don't see it, fine. If you reach the point you see the other person don't see it, just give them a smile, say, okay, don't worry about it. You know, I still love you, you know, but sound like your cup is already full and I can't put anything in it. Go to the next person, you know. Maybe next person is not as full and they might see something that you're telling them and recognize it and take it. I hope it makes sense. Go ahead, bless.
Yes, hello. My question is about consciousness and the understanding of consciousness. As far as consciousness, people have talked about meditation, breathing techniques, pranayama, asanas, all in the hope to find and get a settlement of consciousness. This has been known for thousands of years. My question is, what new teachings is your mission offering in regards to unraveling the mysteries of consciousness?
Our process of meditation teaches the stillness between breathing in and breathing out. There is no other path that I have seen recognizes that or teaches that in the meditation. And that stillness actually is the most important part of the meditation, and that is where the consciousness is recognized in the greatest degree. And therefore, what is new in meditation process is that the stillness between breathing in and breathing out in our meditation technique, and of course the mantra, Hari Om Shri Hum, breathing Hari Om Shri Hum, recognize the stillness, breathe out Om Nam Kevalam, recognize the stillness. Hari Om Shri Hum means the goal of the life is to become divine. That is why you are here, what's born for. Om Nam Kevalam means that divinity or God is everything. There is nothing that God is not there, and therefore God is filling every part and parcel of the universe. Therefore I am a part of it, and I am a part of the universe, and therefore that is the goal of my life, to recognize and become that consciousness which is pure, and the pure consciousness is the goal. And of course it is from the consciousness and the three creative forces that the whole universe has been created, and the first element in the universe which created is ether, or Akashic record, or memory, and the ether is so subtle, it's so unearthly or unmaterial that also if scientists know about ether, they cannot pin it down. They cannot say, yeah, it's ether. We found it. Okay. They know it is a, something that everything floats, the whole universe floats in it. But what is it? They cannot bring it to the laboratory and say, here it is. Here is the ether. Okay, they can't do that. Now, consciousness and three creative forces are even more subtle than ether. If they cannot recognize, you know, ether, which is a matter in the laboratories, how can they recognize the consciousness and three creative forces, the ether even created from them? So we can see the consciousness is very subtle. You know, they even know about the three creative forces, you know, the strong force, the big force, and the electromagnetic. No, so there's three forces they know about, okay? But, you know, they don't call it the tribuna, so they even recognize it. But they cannot say, here it is, this is the force in the stronger, this is a weak force, this is that and that. So they cannot say. Consciousness, of course, is subtler than that. The only way you can recognize it, then you are one with it. Okay. And in the essence, in your meditation, in recognizing that a stillness within you, one day you feel that, hey, I'm not my body at all. I am that consciousness that sees, do, recognizes, and moves, but has nothing to do with my body. I was in this illusion that I am my body, I am the doer. But when you recognize that essence, you know, you realize that, no, it has nothing to do with my body, but I am the recognizer, I am the seer, I am the realizer. So in that essence, that is the consciousness. Even that, then, you don't have any name for it, it just is, okay? We call consciousness because of the lack of, you know, ability to see that in that level. Therefore, you know, when you recognize that, then you say, oh, that is what the consciousness means. And when you realize that you are not your body, but that consciousness, that is the pure consciousness, and therefore you realize, you know, your body is just a temporary thing. You are a permanent being that has been there, is there, and will be there forever. You are eternal. You have reached the goal. You are one with God. So in that essence, we recognize how subtle consciousness is. And that's why it's so hard to recognize and explain. How many people try to explain God for last 6,000 or 12,000 years? And so many books have been written about them, and still few recognize, realize. It's not something you can write about it or explain it. It's something that is recognized and realized with the individual. And the moment they realize that, there's no question left. Yeah, I'm not my body. You know, I'm God. I'm a part of that essence. And that's the goal. When you reach there, of course, the only thing you need really a little physiological and safety need, and the rest is, you know, be one with that will. I hope that makes sense. So what we brought more to humanity, the explanation how subtle it is and how scientific it is. Okay. It's not something just, you know, you look at it as only the mystic or the religious people look at it, but even science is so close. You know, science recognizes ether. They cannot see it, but they recognize ether. Science recognizes the three forces, the weak and the strong and electromagnetic forces in the universe. Okay. So they are very close. Actually, science is closest to God now that ever they have been. The only thing they have to do is they recognize and say, yeah, God is there and made all this thing, and we are just finding what He has already created. You know, of course, if they do that, there is no longer scientists, because we cannot put God in the laboratory and say, here it is, it's God. Now I can show it to you. That's a step they can no longer go any farther. Of course, many scientists even have recognized, just like Einstein. Einstein recognized, you know, he came with the, you know, formula, here is going to be mc2 square, But he doesn't know why, how. He knows it works. And he wrote a lot about something beyond matter. And he got closer to a mystic than ever a scientist was. So we can see that even scientists are close to God as ever before. Never they were so close to God as they are. But they cannot go to the last step, because the moment they do that, they're not scientists anymore. Because God, you cannot experiment God. You cannot put in the microscope and say, here, this is God, this is three consciousness, and this is ether, and this is air, and this is fire, and this is the five elements of the universe and all that. So we can see that in that essence, again, we combine science with God. Science is not something, you know, some people say, no, either you're a scientist or you're a religious person. No, I say no. You can be both. You can be a religious person who sees God as a science, and a scientist who sees God in also behind what they recognize. So that's another thing that mission have unified in humanity. Go, Lou. Go ahead, Lou.
Salam, Mr. Raya, and salam to all. My question is concerning Isaiah 43, verse 5. Isaiah 43, verse 5, if you can hear me very well.
Yalu, we can hear you. Go ahead and read it.
Yes, it says that, "Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west." That was speaking of Israel.
Okay, we didn't get the last part, Lou. I bring your seed from the east, and then what?
And he said it was talking about Israel.
I will bring your seed from the east and gather thee from the west.
And gather thee from the west? Is that what you said?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, well, that sounds like what we already have in our teaching, that children of Israel, they were split to two nations, the house of Israel and the house of Judah. House of Judah was the children of Judah, Benjamin, and Levites with them. And then house of the Israel, which is the northern kingdom, were the rest of the tribes with the Levites with them. And there were the 10 tribes of Israel, which are known as the 10 last tribe of Israel, left Israel, or northern kingdom, and came to northwest, to Europe, and eventually to United States. And they are real children of Israel. They are the people, they traveled to the West and came to Europe and eventually in the United States. And they came from the East, okay, and to West. And then the children of Ishmael, which was from the Ishmael, the other son of Abram, came from Arab background, from Saudi Arabia, came to Middle East, came to North Africa, and eventually to Spain. And they were stopped in Spain. But the Spanish people came and gathered mostly, they came mostly in South America. Okay? So you can see his children also came from East and were gathered in West in South America. If you look at New Mexico, New Mexico is in the border of the United States and South America and Central America and Mexico, which mostly are Spanish people, which really are the ascendant of the Arabs. So now here, this teaching, where does this teaching have come from? It came from the West. I didn't receive this revelation in the East. I came from East, but I didn't receive this revelation when I was in Iran. I received it when I was in the United States. Actually, I was, you know, studying for my education, you know. I had no idea I'm going to receive a revelation here, you know. And then, of course, if you have read the story of my life, you know, that's the way it happened. And this revelation now came in the West, among the people who are the children of Israel and the children of Ishmael. Okay? And these are the people we are calling to be gathered. Of course, we are gathering everybody from all over the world, but really, if most people that are joining us are from the West, or United States right now, and of course Europe, and Europe also is a part of the children of Israel. Okay, so we see the true elect, the true children of light, are those people who are gathered in under this revelation, and probably mostly east from the West, and mostly east from, you know, South America and United States and Europe. And of course, the rest of the world, whoever follows the eternal divine path, is a part of our brothers and sisters, and they are a part of us. So that verses seems to indicate the exactly what we teach here, and it's completely confirming that the people came from the East, were gathered in the West, and they are a part of God's revelation. And they are now receiving this revelation and have to come together. Actually, United States is the melting pot. Where better place this revelation of unification should come? You know, if it had come in Iran, they were all more Muslim. Okay, probably I wouldn't be alive by now. Because the heresy, you say, there is another prophet after Prophet Muhammad in Islamic countries. Okay. They wouldn't even understand probably as much as the people in the United States understand it, because they have seen Muslim, Hindus, Buddhists, you know. A Muslim probably sees very little of Buddhists, you know. I didn't know too much about Buddhists until I came to the United States, you know. Then I started reading about Buddhism and see Buddhists and see monks and or see Hare Krishna people jumping all over the United States and saying Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, you know. Where else better than this revelation to come to a people that already are exposed to so many different energies and religions and things. So we are gathering, actually, it sounds like we are gathering more people in the United States than anywhere else. They have more computers than anywhere else. So they can reach this revelation in a greater degree. So they have come from East. Everybody came from East. Because United States, the only people who didn't come from East really is the American Native Americans who didn't come from East. They were living here. Everybody else came from East. Even Europe is the East of the United States. Even if you have come from the Europe, is still from East. But of course, the correct way of it is, if you read the children of Abraham, all prophets are fulfilled. It explains very clearly how the children of Israel were split to two nations, and one nation became Jews, and the other one became the house of Israel, the house of Judah, who became Jews, the house of Israel, who became the northern kingdom, and the house of Israel and the house of Jews, both have been uprooted, but the house of Israel, the northern kingdom, completely left. Nobody knows what happened to them. You know, but according to our teaching, it explains how they left the northern kingdom, came to the northwest, and eventually ended up in Europe and came to the United States. And of course, the southern kingdom also were taken away. But later on, King Cyrus of Persia sent them back, build their temple again, and they became Jews. They were only the children of the tribe of Judah and the Benjamin with them, and the Levites with them. Of course, later on, Jews even were scattered even in a greater degree all over the world. And so their teaching, the Old Testament, were spread all over the world. And Bible is the book everybody almost knows. You know, it's in every culture you can find it. Everybody has that stories about, you know, what happened to them. And of course, their mission, the the children of Israel mission finished when Christ came and he finished and gathered the people. And where did he gather them from? Most of the people who followed the Christ were where? In the West, in Europe and in the United States. And he gathered the people. What people? The people who left the Northern Kingdom and came to Europe and the United States, and he gathered them as prophets that he will. So we can see God again said he will do all these things, and he has done it. You know, that is our salvation. No matter, you look at the world and the way the dogmas and differences between the people are, you say, what am I doing here? How am I going to ever change this, you know, craziness in the world and unify them? And then you remember God said he's going to do these things, and he did them. And he said he will bring his kingdom on earth. He will open a book with the seven seals, and when the book is opened, the kingdom of earth will then become the kingdom of God. And we are in that process of bringing those people who have that vision together and create the kingdom of heaven on earth. This is peace, prosperity, unity, sharing, and all that beauty that we all want. So we can see that, yes, God has gathered the children of Israel together, you know, and Jewish people were scattered all over the place. They were so mixed up. Even the government of Israel says, we really don't know what the Jew is anymore. You know, look at what? We have Chinese Jews, we have African Jews, we can, and they all came from what? From Abraham? How can they be Chinese looking? Because probably some Jews went to China and married Chinese people. So we can see God absolutely mixed the thing together, and we realize the elected people are not the ones who call Jews or children of Israel, but the real children of Israel or the children of light, which follow the eternal divine path and become an elect or a child of light or children of Israel. So those are the real children of Israel. And of course, you know, maybe there are most of them in the United States and Europe and South America and in the West. We don't know. We will see as the mission unfolds, we will see when the people come and how dedicated they are. The more dedicated they are, the more they manifest, the more they are elect and a part of God's plan. Where they're from, I don't care. They can be from moon. As for as they are elect, I love them, I accept them, I will work with them. So in that verse, you can look at it, the gathering of the children of Israel, which were the northern kingdom, who came to Europe and United States. You can relate that to the children of Ishmael. The same thing happened to them. They came from Saudi Arabia and came all the way to North Africa and came to Spain, and as the Spanish people came and are in the West in South America. You can look at it, the gathering of them will be after this revelation comes. And his people are called to come and join, and they are the elect. So, as I said many times, God's word has more than seven meanings. You know, so that all those explanations can be related to that verse. Does that make sense, Luke?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
Yeah, indeed. We have a lot of truth and beauty in this revelation and mission and our teachings. It is indeed amazing how much truth has been revealed to us. And we are very lucky to be a part of it and see this, you know, vision and eventually say, I give up. I give up my ego. I give up everything that I think I know, and I submit to God and his revelation and his understanding and teaching, and I want to dedicate myself and my life to spread this truth to other people and completely overcome anything in my life that is in the way to this great revelation. So that's how I did, and that's what I did. I dropped everything for this revelation because it is beautiful, it has a lot of truth in it, and humanity have to see this. They have to be told. They have to listen and hear and read and eventually say, yeah, there is no separation between us. You know, there is one humanity, one God, and he sent all these religions. Therefore, we all become one. The only thing really left is create the kingdom of heaven on earth. Create more communities of life. And eventually, you know, right now, as I said, I'm looking for the facilitating body for the mission. Mission for the people who are dedicated, come, join, to create the facilitating body, teachers, supporting group for the teachers and the mission, and we reach out to humanity. That's only we do. We don't have to pick up any sword, we don't have to pick up any, you know, war with them, you know. God will fight our war, and we don't need to really destroy anything or anyone. We are not destructive, we are productive, and we are creator, and creator of the unity on earth, and conveying this vision to humanity, that you don't have to fight. You don't, unless your ego, you want to keep your ego and fight, that's fine. Okay? As I said, the conqueror will be conquered. Okay? Those who exalt themselves will be humbled. You know, it's a history. Just look at the history. How many great nations came and went? They thought they were greater in the world. Okay? Persian Empire came, they're still, most of Persian thing, you know, they're still living in that kingdom. It's gone, it's done, it's finished 2,500 years ago. Okay, there was a kingdom. Who are you now and where are you at now? Roman Empire, 1,000 years of peace of Rome didn't last forever. So we have to learn, humanity have to learn. Those who have the power, you have to use it for bringing the kingdom of heaven on earth. They don't have to. They can use for destruction and domination, but later on they will be dominated. It is the way it is. It is a cycle of life of ego. If we get the ego away, if we bring the kingdom of heaven on earth, if we create the communes of life, we would not have this up and down and great nation, lower nation, dominate, destruction, destroy. We don't have to have this thing. This is the message of Mission of Maitreya. We don't have to have this destruction on earth. Just get rid of our ego. See the unity. See God in everything and everyone. No. Become a universalist. Shatter all norms of the mind. Let God come through. No. Give up yourself a little bit. And stop me all the time. Create a community. Live in with other people. You create greater light when you live with other people. So this is the message. Meditate. Know thyself. This is the message of Maitreya. This is the message of the mission. I think it's a good message. It unifies all religions of the world, bringing the kingdom of heaven on earth. And now you have been given. You have had it. Don't keep it. It's going to spoil. It's just like in manna. What am I giving to you is manna of God. It's the truth of the Father to you. Don't keep it to yourself. Give it out to anybody who listens. Don't argue. Don't get to the argument with other people. If somebody is getting argumentative, say, okay, fine, don't worry about it. And just walk away, or just give them a smile and be very nice to them, but calm them down and say, no, I'm not going to argue with you. I am rejoicing with what I just see. I'm not going to argue. You know, but if you don't want to see it, oh, okay. Don't. It's all right. So again, the truth is incredible. Revelation is beautiful. Humanity needs it. The time is right. Just let us put our ego out and see the vision in the clearest way possible. Frederick.
Would you be able to comment on the upcoming full shift? What kind of intervention do you see along these lines, and any kind of a time frame?
Pole shift, shift of the poles.
Okay, if we understood the question correctly, comment on the coming of the shift of the poles, and what kind of intervention we can give to this. Well, it's been realized and recorded that the poles on Earth shift itself once in a while, and change their places north-south with each other. And are we in that period or close to it? Now, some people say we are, some other people say we are not. And so it's very hard to know exactly if it's going to happen or not. I have a feeling that it will not very soon. Probably it's going to happen. It's going to take a long time because this happens. And the most important thing that we can do right now is to create a world unity and the kingdom of an earth according to our teachings. And then scientists, just imagine how many great minds are destroyed in the countries that are starving to death, or the kids that they are starved and they never have opportunity to use their mind in a greater degree. If we create an environment that all the minds on earth can be nurtured and brought up to a point that they can become scientists and also thinker of great degree, we will have a great leap in scientific discoveries and understanding of the earth and atmosphere and everything that we know now a little about, and bring great scientists and from all these people that are wasted, you know, are dead, you know, a good mind doesn't have any good nutrition, you know, and die is a loss of to humanity. So the intervention again is to give the opportunity to every man, woman, child on earth to become the best they are or can be, and therefore in the long run all will benefit from it instead of, you know, accumulating, you know, power and wealth in one place or one area and not to recognize that the possibility that there can be greater mind that is wasted somewhere else. So, and you don't have to give up our standard of living either. You know, as I said, if we reach to the space, there is so much resources out there. Actually, we are sitting in the by the ocean, and you know, I always, you know, say it's just like that bird is sitting by the ocean, and it doesn't drink the water because it's afraid if it drinks the water, the ocean might dry out. and we are exactly the same way. We are in the brink of the space that there are unlimited resources out there for everybody have the greatest standard of living they can have, and we are just fighting with each other over a little oil somewhere in other part of the earth, and because we don't recognize that we can have greater resources by reaching the space. So how can we intervene with our situation is again to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth, create an environment that everybody progress in a greater degree, reach out to space and bring greater degree of material progress and prosperity to every man and woman on earth, and increase the standard of living of everyone so they have physiological and the safety needs taken care of very well, and then we will see, we will have great minds that solve this problem for us. You know, if the shifting of the earth came, you know, who knows, we might be able to do something about it, not to shift, or if it's too, we can do nothing about it, maybe we move to another planet and stay there. After it's shifted, we come back and see how we can continue living on Earth or do something about it. The possibilities are infinite. The ability of human to progress, actually, why God created so many planets out there? Empty. For us to go and live in them, you know, make them livable, we make them, you know, a place that we can expand and remain. Why just stay with the earth alone? Why not? You know, expand out to the space, you know, go to the other planets that we can live in and make their resources available to ourselves and all that. You know, why to stay here and just use the oil or cars that pollute the earth and destroyed ourselves? You know, why not learn how to create a more cleaner, you know, way of living. I think that's a part of our teaching, science based on the spirit. Okay, our science are not based on the spirit right now. It's based on ego and material, you know, longing. That is why we are so attached to the one earth, and we are depleting the resources of this earth. For how long? How long are we going to have oil? Another 100 years? And then what? And where this oil came from? It was the carbon that was, you know, put into earth to create an environment that human can live in. Now we are releasing this carbon to the earth again. And this, what happened? After a while, we can't live in it anymore. And we are going to be destroying ourselves with this kind of approach and with this kind of vision of limited resources on earth. So we have to fight over it, destroy each other, dominate one another, and all that. And instead of saying, okay, let's reach out, let's bring everybody in, and let's use all great minds that exist on earth and progress in a greater degree. So this is, again, our vision is going to help every level of our human life, even, you know, in a scientific way, and seeing this reality of earth, that there is no doubt that the poles are going to shift, but when, they really don't know. And how to help it? Again, the answer is comings of light, our teaching, unity of humanity, and bringing greater degree of, you know, scientific understanding of the deeper level of based on a spirit without, you know, a byproduct like pollution. Okay, there are other resources we can use without pollution and polluting the earth. You know, how many people have more asthma now? How many people have, you know, allergies? Why? Did we have so many people have allergies? Why? You know, it's just a symptom. It's a beginning of the greater thing is happening to us. Again, there's an urgency for humanity to recognize this thing, to open their vision from the tunnel vision of, oh no, oil is the only way, and we have to get it and burn it and destroy ourselves because we want a bigger car, we want a nicer, you know, way of doing it, but at the end we are destroying ourselves with it. So we can see, again, our teaching is the salvation of humanity, physically, mentally, spiritually, and, you know, in the survival of humanity, based on recognizing this thing and coming together and using the resources in a greater degree. I hope that answers your question. And again, Salom, thank you for coming to our room. You have seen the vision. You have given the vision. Don't keep it to yourself. Give it out. Reach out. Let humanity know. Let's bring the kingdom of heaven on earth and solve all these problems that they are solvable. There is a way out, and this is it. Salam, everybody.